Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'll be your host today. As we continue with our ongoing feature, On the Farm, we talk with Doug Goring, the North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner, about the future of farming.
Well, I would say from the autonomous vehicle aspect, there's been more conversations about, you know, what that would look like. And although some would say that's, you know, maybe a century away, I would suggest it might be just decades away. I think they're doing a better job of trying to identify routes and potential places where autonomous vehicles could go. And with that being said, that won't even be hard on a field or within a field situation, that once you've identified, let's just say, a pathogen exists on a plant and you need to treat it, you could certainly load that data into another computer for that particular vehicle, whether it would be another UAV, another, you know, object that's going to be flying out there or driving out there, and it could certainly go out there and treat that one spot. That is not science fiction. That is very much real world, and it could certainly happen in the very near future.
Transitioning into cannabis, where are we at with the experimental hemp fields? I believe that was starting to grow in 2014, 2015.
Well, we did our field trials this year. This is the first time ever we've had larger, more field-scale trial field test plots out there. And all of that information is being collected. The data is being collected to talk about the agronomic aspects of it. They did have a field day here a while back, and I can't even tell you the date. I wanted to say I believe it was in August when they had a field day. Went out and looked at the plants. A lot of questions. People asking, you know, how deep was this planted? What did you use for cultivation? What did you use for seeding? How are you going to harvest it? This is all the data that we're collecting, and we're going to compile all of this and talk about it and have it available for farmers in the future to think about, you know, if you're in these types of soil conditions, if you have this type of environment, maybe it's a little drier. It's going to be looking at different varieties. We have varieties out there that are, you know, grown specifically for the fiber. We have varieties that are grown specifically for the seed so that it can be crushed and they can get the meal, they can get the oil out of it, or they can just get the seed out of it and actually sell it that way. We're also going to be collecting data on those varieties that are dual purpose, where they give you both grain and fiber. So these are all things that we're compiling data on, so that farmers don't have to make a lot of mistakes or don't have to learn the hard way in the school of hard knocks and pay more tuition that way. As we continue to move forward, I'm looking down the road at next year and going to also pursue putting in more field trials and having this pilot program extended so that we can drive more data, more research, more opportunities to share with farmers, because this year we were able to have multiple locations with different environmental conditions, different soil types, and different varieties. This will just give us an opportunity to put farmers in a better position if they so choose to grow industrial hemp down the road.
Do you see hemp at all becoming a export commodity outside the United States, or do you think it'll mostly be used within the United States?
I think the U.S. market's fairly large, and I'll put it this way, out of the 400,000 plus acres that are grown globally, I believe the United States for fiber consumes about 200,000 of those acres. The growing market seems to be the meal, the seed, the oil, you know, people that want to buy it for medicinal purposes, or people that want to have it as for its nutritional aspects. The seed itself is higher in protein, or it's a high protein food source, so I could see people doing that. I would say the area that probably has the most potential for growth is probably going to be on the grain side. It's going to be for the seed, probably not as much for the fiber. There is some things that are being created from it, such as paper. Certainly the fibers can be used and woven together for ropes, but I think the real potential And this is why I would also encourage farmers to go out there and find the market before you try to start growing a lot of industrial hemp, or before you get too far into it, because you could be sitting on something for quite a long time. Find the market, find the processors, and go from there.
Well, I would think
you're going to probably have to work with us, because as long as this still falls under our authority and purview, if you do it outside the scope of the Farm Bill, which means you have to do it under NDSU or the land grant universities or the agriculture commissioner, you're not going to be able to just go out and plant it.
I would think too that as more hybrid cars are coming into the market, the natural gas cars are starting to, you know, take a foothold in the municipality type bus systems, and Ford has even got some experimental cars in Detroit for natural gas vehicles, that the fiber side of things would be more difficult, because just synthetics, you know, plastics. We're talking about the petroleum industry will probably have to branch out and, you know, figure out some new products that, you know, like synthetic ropes and that sort of thing. That, when you said ropes, the first thing that popped to my mind was, you know, a lot of ropes are used with some basically synthetic plastics, and that's, of course, petroleum. And so I do see what you're talking about. In fact, a little side note, too, when I was doing some research on hemp and cannabis and just that whole emergence of the industry, Tibetan monks used to eat one hemp seed a day because it had every amino acid that our body needs when they did their fasting. That way they would guarantee to have that kind of protein in their system. So apparently back in those days, that was their way of fasting. Did you ever know that?
I did not. But that's interesting.
To listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring, or to listen to other on-the-farm features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Autumn is the perfect time to see the beauty of the Black Hills, and the Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort is the perfect place to stay. The Lodge at Deadwood offers 140 luxurious guest rooms designed for total comfort. Elevate your expectations about casual fine dining in their first-class restaurant, or experience the energy and excitement of Vegas-style gaming. The Lodge at Deadwood offers the largest convention facility in the area with unparalleled hospitality and scenic surroundings. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.